God commanded it. We talked about all this last week, just going over it. It's after salvation, it's in deep water, and it's required to join the Church of Jesus. We talked all about that last week. But let's now look at some examples of baptism. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when the crowd heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, see, I wasn't the only long-winded guy. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or ungodly generation. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Added unto who? Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their church daily such as should be saved. Oh, good. Thank you. So the people that gladly received the message of Jesus Christ on the cross and His death, burial, and resurrection, those people got baptized. When we went to start our first church down in Texas, that was this passage, verses 41 through 47. I got down there, having gone through Bible college, having been all these different things in a church, served in a church, my wife, my family. But when we got down there, here I was going to be, the first time I was going to be a pastor, and I was like crying and saying, oh God, how are we going to do this? I need your help. And he says, okay, Harvey, turn over to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. He says, while you're here, this is your marching orders. This is what you need to look at. This is what you need to understand. This is a pattern of what I want you to do. And that's what we tried to pattern our ministry after. So as we went around in that town, that whole town had 10,000 people, and we knocked on every door in that town in 14 months and told every house about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that year, in 14 months, we saw over 600 people come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. It was really neat. And as we would lead them to the Lord, we would take them to the house where we had church, and we had a baptismal tank. It was a cattle trough. It was 5 foot in diameter, cattle trough, 2.5 foot high, galvanized cattle trough. Now you understand we're in Texas. It wasn't like Michigan. If you had it here in Michigan, you'd have to break up the ice to get them baptized, you know? But this wasn't Michigan. This is Texas. So it was warm all year long. It was down by Mexico, 40 miles from Mexico. And I want you to look at that verse just for a second. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word. You see, I read the verses preceding that because I wanted you to know the word he was preaching. And the word he was preaching was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? For our sin. Jesus died for our sin because the only payment for sin is death. That's why Jesus died. Because he loves us, he wanted to pay the penalty for us. He set the penalty and then he paid the penalty for us. Now watch this. Then they that gladly received his word, received the message, what did they do? And what I would always do when I was, after I would deal with somebody and they would accept Christ as their Savior, I'd take them to this verse and I would point to it and I would say, then they, wherever verse 41 is, then they that gladly received his word, what did they do? And they'd go, well, they got baptized. And they could read real good because I'd always point to the word. And they'd go, well, they got baptized. And I said, and when did they do it? And it goes on to say, the same day. And they're like, the same day? And I'm like, yeah. And I said, that means right now. And they're like, really? And we would baptize people 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We baptized a guy named, his real name was Zorasso, but everybody called him Zorro. I mean, if you had a name like Zorasso, you'd want to be called something else, wouldn't you? Well, everybody called him Zorro. And we baptized him one night at 11 o'clock. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Zorro, was that? Yeah, it was Zorro. We baptized him February 2nd, 1988. And the reason I remember that date is because we ended up having seven get saved and baptized that day. And that's a whole long story that I'll tell you another time. I got a whole bunch of stories. I like to tell these stories. It's so much fun when you're out talking to people about Jesus because you run into people having all kinds of needs and you run into different situations. It's really neat. I enjoy it. Sometimes I've knocked on doors and had people open a door sticking a gun in my face. I've knocked on doors, had people invite me in, and I was in a crack house or in a prostitution house or right in the middle of a drug deal. I mean, it's fun to me. That may sound scary to you, but I love it. I love going door to door and talking to people about Jesus. I love talking to people everywhere I go because everybody needs Jesus. So anyway, I would show them this verse. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized the same day. Because we're not doing a show, we're wanting to obey what the Bible says. And you get baptized to show your belief in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's why the belief has to come first before the baptism. Okay? Everybody with me? Anybody else with me? Okay, I didn't hear you nod your head. Anybody else with me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You only get out of something what you put into it. So you got to get involved. You know, you don't want to just be a spectator. You want to be a participant. Look at chapter 8, verse 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They believed, then they got baptized." Look in verse 35. Well, let's start in verse 29. Then the Spirit... Well, let's start in verse 26. This is a nice little story. We're going to just read the whole little story. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. He was right in the middle of a evangelistic campaign in a town. If you go back and read before that, the whole town was coming to Jesus. Okay? And right in the middle of that, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." You're going to go down to the Gaza desert. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Get the picture. Here's this guy from Ethiopia. He's like right-hand man to the queen. He had gone to Israel to worship. On his way back home, God sends a messenger. Here's this guy seeking God, but he doesn't know how to get to God. One of my favorite things to say, John, to people is, one of my favorite things to say to God is, "Lord, I want you, but I don't know how to get to you, so I'm asking you to come to me." And you know what? God always accepts an invitation. Every time you invite God, He comes. It's so neat. I love it. Anyway, look at verse 28. "And this guy was, as he was returning, sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto him, Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" I love verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Now here's this guy, the verse before, Philip's preaching unto him Jesus. Philip's preaching unto him from Isaiah about Jesus on the cross. And the whole reason for it's out of Isaiah 53. And the whole reason for Jesus on the cross. But he must have gone on beyond preaching Jesus on the cross and started talking to him about baptism, because as they came to some water, all of a sudden the guy being talked to, the eunuch, The Ethiopian eunuch, he goes, hey, here's water. What stops me from being baptized? I want you to see the next verse. Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. That's why we said deep water. You can't both go down in a cup or a little fountain, can you? I'm sorry? Can you? Can two people get in a little cup? I don't even think one could. Could two people get in a little fountain? Well, they both went down in the water. I think there's a clue there. Okay, that's what you'll find in the Bible. It's always deep water. Here we go. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, I love it. Can't come up out of a cup either. It'd be hard enough getting in one, Don, but if I got down in one, it'd be a heck of a time trying to get out of one. Here's Philip, a man that walked with God, and God said, there's a man that's looking for me. He works over at the Speedway. And he can't get loose on Sundays. So what I want you to do is I want you to go over and I just want you to let me get loose when you walk into Speedway. So I walk in there and God keeps getting loose. And after a while, this guy at Speedway, he knows me by name, because every time I'm coming there, something must be happening, because I didn't hear him calling everybody else by name. And I don't think he's got a memory like a computer that he's going to remember everybody's name. Dude, I don't remember people's names. That's why I call people names like Snickle Fritz and, you know. Right. That's what Dear Heart. My wife and daughter will say, why do you call women Dear Heart? It's like, I can't remember their name, or it's just a term of, affection. I'm just trying to be kind. Sometimes I can remember their name, but I just am thinking, tenderness or something, Anyway. So God sends a man that loves him to talk to a man to help get him free. Because that's what I did. He said to me, he kept saying to me, where's your church? And I told him, because he works at Speedway right over here. He goes, where's your church? I told him, well, I'm going to come. Do you know how many people I've heard say that through the years? So many people tell me, oh, I'm going to come to church. Yeah, right. When you die, we'll probably lay you out in the church, And then he said, the last time I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last time I was in there, he said, I am going to come to church. I said, great. He said, they always make me work on Sundays. I said, well, let's take care of that. So I stuck my hand out. He put his hand in mine. And I prayed and I said, God, work it out. So they give him Sundays off and you open his boss's eyes or touch his heart. So he'll do that. And then this morning, what happened? What I'm trying to say to you is, God, a man walked with God, a man loved God. And there was another man that loved God as best he knew and was after God. But he needed someone to come into his life to help take him further. And that's what you find in Acts chapter 8. And the first man was obedient because God knew the heart of the second man. And the second man's heart was open to God and was wanting God. Just needed some help. That's why I tell you, that's what we want to do here. See, this isn't about me just going out. This is about every one of us getting infected. You know why people didn't come today that have chicken pox? Do you know why? That's because they're infected and they didn't want to spread it. But if you keep coming here, you're going to get infected with Jesus. And then wherever you go, you're going to talk about what you're full of. So when you get filled up with Jesus, Jacqueline, you're not going to be able to help it. You're going to be going, Cherie, I found Jesus. I know where Jesus meets on Sunday. See? And it's not just about coming here, it's about getting them to Jesus. God's not wanting everybody to come here. God's wanting us to go to them. That's why this is a training place for ministers. And that's why so many people, and what God has shown us is we're going to train and raise up ministers, and they're going to go and they're going to take Jesus. Because see, the church has had it wrong. They're trying to get everybody to come to the church. What God says is the church is supposed to go to the people. Okay? We're supposed to go after the people. Not trying to get them to come join a little glee club. This isn't about joining a glee club. This is about living and knowing Jesus 24/7. Hanging out with God. Knowing Him as He really is. Not just coming and everybody dressed in a certain way and looking at each other, comparing and hugging and pretending we love one another and we don't. It's not about that. It's about knowing God as He really is. Because when you first get this, if you don't get anything else today, get this. I'm talking about baptism, but this is going to help you, okay? I mean, that'll help you too, but this is going to help you, okay? This thought I'm getting ready to give you. Here is the whole Christian life. Jesus said in Matthew 22, when He's talking to a lawyer, see, lawyers always want to catch you. Well, they were trying to catch Him in Matthew 22. And Jesus just turned around and made it the most awesome statement. I love it. He said, the very first thing, lawyer, is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Now watch. When you and me have the right relationship with God, when you and I are walking with God and knowing Him and knowing who we are in Him. You see, I'm not just Harvey the preacher, okay? I'm Harvey the Son of God. I was born into His family. I am a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus. I am accepted. Do you understand? I'm not accepted because you accept me, because you may not always accept me. I do some strange things. And it's not always easy for people to accept what I do. But guess what? God accepts me all the time. It says that I am accepted in the beloved. I'm not accepted based on because I always perform right and do everything right. When I got saved, I was a sinner. I'm still just a sinner. I'm just a saved sinner. I'm a forgiven sinner. Do you understand? I make mistakes every single day. I mean, I make so many mistakes, I have to use pencils with erasers on both ends. You understand? Are y'all getting this? Is anybody else awake? I'm awake, brother. Go ahead. Put a verse in that thing, brother, a while. Thank you, brother. I needed that. It's getting a little quiet in here for me. Dude, I didn't think I had to do that in my own church, you know. I've done that all over the country, you know, and it normally makes them get a little more where they feel like they can talk, you know. I just want you to understand, when you know who you are in Jesus, when you know God as He really is. I was talking to a man Friday. I was in his home. This man was raised in church, went through school, a Christian school. This guy is a grown-up with some kids. He won't go to church. He's been hurt by church. He's been damaged by Christians. And I'm sitting there working on his tub, trying to mind my own business. God got loose again. The dude was hungry for God. And he just kept staying in there in the bathroom, wanting to talk about Jesus. And he said, you know what I'm getting by talking to you? I said, what? He said, I'm getting the idea that God's not like mad at me. I'm going, He's not. He's not. I get the idea God's not disappointed in me. I said, He's not. I said, when I got saved as a drug dealer, what do you think? God turned around and said, okay, now I expect you to do everything right, jump through little hoops, could be a little circus dog, you know. I said, when I turned around and sinned, do you think God gasped? He sinned. No. What do you think? It took Him by surprise? No. He expected I had a learning curve. Now, I'm a little slower than some, so my learning curve might take a little longer. Okay? God's not disappointed. The one thing that I love about God, one of the things, there's a whole bunch of things, but one of the things I love about God, do you know with God you can't never fail a test? You just get to keep repeating it until you pass. God's never in a hurry. And you've always got an A with God. Because He'll wait until you get an A. Do you understand? He's not in a hurry. The Bible says He is long-suffering. You know what that means? It means to suffer long. God is very patient, very kind. I'm not like God all the time. Sometimes I'm not very patient. Does anybody else can say that? I'm not very patient. I get a little frustrated. I want things done now. Anybody like that? I mean, anybody else want to be honest? Oh, okay. I just want to know if anybody wants to be honest, you know. See, the truth will set you free. See, I feel so free. Okay, because I just tell the truth. It don't matter if you like it or not. I'm talking to God. Amen. And when I tell you, the Bible says, if we confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. See, I'm not looking into being hiding and playing the game. I'm looking into being real because I want deliverance. See, I already played the game when I was a drug dealer. I've already lived on the dark side. I already know what that is, that playing, that hiding, that darkness thing. I don't want to live there. I want to live in the light. I want to live in truth. I like feeling good. I like when a cop comes, I don't have to worry about, am I doing something? Do I need to hide something? Do I need to look at my speedometer? I don't worry about it. Because I just live, do what's right, and then I don't worry about all that. When you know who God really is and how He sees you and who and what He really is like, the Bible doesn't say God loves. Does anybody know John 3:16? For God so loved the world. God is love. God is what's happening inside of you toward your children. God is that laying down, that love is like laying down your life. See, God loved us so much He laid down His life for our good, to help us.
How do you pass the fear?
I'm really glad you asked. 1 John chapter 4 again says, perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Perfect love, that word perfect, doesn't mean perfect in the way we think of perfect, as in perfection. That word perfect is translated as spiritually mature. As we grow in our love, as we mature in God, okay, we learn who God is and who we are. And when the enemy comes along and tries to give you, see, the Bible says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is a spirit of fear. Just like the Satan is an antichrist spirit. But there's all kinds of spirits, demons, if you'll have. People don't like talking about that, don't want to think about that. I was taught when I was a Baptist, you know, we didn't even talk about that or ever believe in that. And whenever I ever tried to talk to my preacher or something, he'd say, oh, that's not for us today. And they're trying to make a big thing. And I'm going, okay, how come I can see them? How come I know they're around? I mean, dude, you know, you're driving down the road, you see a restaurant that says food and spirits. They're even advertising, you know. I mean, and when I used to drink, see, I tell people I quit drinking when they invented the funnel. Okay, when I used to drink, dude, you want to talk about spirits? How come people that are real, what's that word, shy and timid, or real shy and quiet, how come when they drink, what do they do? What do they do? Loud and boisterous and obnoxious, right? I had two of them on the phone last night for 2 hours. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. My wife says, I'm glad you had grace to talk to them. She said, that's why whenever I see them on the caller ID, I don't want to pick it up because I know it's going to be a 2-hour phone call and I know they're going to be drunk. And after you get through talking to them, sometimes they don't even remember what you said. I don't think they're going to forget what I said. But anyway, They kept saying stuff, and she'd say, "Is that right?" I'd say, "Are you asking, do I agree with you, or do you want to know what I think?" She said, "Well, tell me your opinion." I said, "Well, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. They just smell." I said, "What I'd rather do is take you to the Word of God." "Okay." So then I would tell her what the Word of God had to say. And then I would very kindly and very clearly make it clear that I wasn't in agreement with what she said, because what she said didn't go along with the Bible. Because I asked her, I said, "What if somebody has an opinion?" And this is a very important point I wanted to make today. This is the second big point I want to make today. So I want everybody to get this now. Okay? There are opinions. Do you know what an opinion is? Everybody's got them. It's what you think is right or wrong. Your opinion. "Well, I feel..." Well, good. That means you're not dead. Okay, are you ready? There are opinions. Go ahead. That He gave His only begotten Son. You see, God does love, but if you turn over to 1 John... Now, that's the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. But 1 John is right before the book of Revelation. And in 1 John chapter 4, two times it says, "God is love." As a matter of fact, there's a song. Oh, y'all want to hear it? Okay. It goes like this. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another," 1 John 4, 7 and 8. What I'm trying to tell you is God is love. You know when you're driving down the road and you see these little bumper stickers say, "I heart my chihuahua"? That's not love. I mean, at the best, that's puppy love or something. I don't know. It's not love. You know? And then we have the Word of God. What if an opinion and the Bible don't say the same thing? Which is right? Okay, that's what y'all think. How about everybody? What do you think? Jacqueline? What do you think? The Bible? Great. And that's what I asked the lady last night. I said, well, because she kept talking about, "Well, I think, well, my opinion, well, I believe." And I finally said to her, I said, "You know, what about opinions? What if our opinion doesn't agree with the Word of God? What's truth?" She said, "Well, the Word of God." So then she gave me this real, she had just given me this real strong opinion. "What do you think?" I said, "Well, let's look what the Bible has to say. So I flipped over and I read her something out of the Bible and I said, "Now, that's what the Bible has to say." I said, "If our opinion doesn't agree with the Bible," which what she said didn't agree. I said, "If what our opinion states doesn't agree with the Bible," I said, "then according to what you just told me, the Bible's truth. That means our opinion is wrong. That means if that's our opinion, we're wrong." Got real quiet. My thought to you is this. We have opinions. Remember a long time ago, a few weeks ago, whatever, we had a thing up here and we talked about, this is going to be next week, by the way, we talked about the blackboard. Everybody's got a blackboard in their life. Y'all remember that? What's on people's blackboards? Do you remember? Everybody's got a blackboard. Bible calls it the table of your heart. I'm going to call it your blackboard. What's on your blackboard? Do you remember? Mindsets, belief systems, opinions, feelings, agendas, motives. The thing that makes you, you. The reason that you make the choices you do. That's what's on the blackboard of your life. When I came to God, God told me this within the last year. Because I kept asking Him, why do I find success in the Christian life and I find so many people don't? And He said this to me, "Harvey, when you got saved, when you met me," He said, "you first thought when you got in church you were supposed to be like everybody else. You tried to be like everybody else," He said, "but after you hung around them for a little while, you found out you didn't want to be like them." And He said, "so what you did was," He said, "you came to me and you said, 'God, here's the blackboard of my life. Everything on my blackboard that makes me me, everything that is not in agreement with you,'" if I had an eraser, He said, "you handed me the eraser to the blackboard of your life and invited me to erase what was not of you. any opinions you had that were not true according to the Bible, you asked me to erase. Any mindsets you had, any belief systems. Well, my dad said, that doesn't make it true. Well, my preacher said, that doesn't make it true. Well, my denomination says, that doesn't make it true. Romans 7:7 says, I had not known sin except the law had said. What makes something right or wrong is what God has to say. That's in Romans 7:7. You see, when you and I die, I call it graduating, because you sure don't want to be demoted. So when you graduate and you go to heaven and you're standing before God, you can tell Him your opinions, you can tell Him all your mindsets, you can tell Him what everybody else said, and then God's just going to open the book. And He's going to take you to the book. That's what's eternal. This is eternal truth. That's why we need to open that book and let it inside of us. It's like I told, I think, the female last night. I said, what we need to do is open the Bible, and we need to let God change the way we think and the way we feel. We need to come into agreement with what God said, because He's not the one who needs to change. Would you agree? Does God need to change, or do we? Who stepped out of line? Here we go. Oh, so when you know, listen to this. This will help you for the rest of your life. This is a key that will revolutionize your life, I promise you. When you come to find out who God really is, and you come to know Him, and you come to find out who you are in Him, what God has to say about you. If you would like some verses on what God has to say about you, come to me. I'll run you off a copy of one that I have. There's a whole lot of verses that just talk about who God says you are as a believer. And when you get that inside of you, instead of believing what people have said about you, do I look like a towering, huge hulk of a guy? What they would call a babe or hot or all these other words? No, I'm a little guy. Well, watch this. When I graduated high school, I was this big. I was 100 pounds. The parents wouldn't let the girls date me, because the only ones that were smaller than me were the sixth graders. And they wouldn't let them go out with me. So all the girls always patted me on the head. Oh, you're a cute little boy. I didn't want to be a cute little boy. I want a girlfriend. I'm just telling you the truth. So as I grew up, or didn't grow up, now I'm just growing out. Feel much better, okay? Ho, 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 Bill Burr, no boy. You ready? When I was growing up, people said all kinds of things about me. They used to put me in little tight places, like in the gym. They'd stuff you in the locker, and they'd put me in the clothes hampers, and I couldn't do nothing about it. They'd stick me to the basketball thing. I mean, you know, it was like, I could, you know, because they were all bigger than me. Everybody's still bigger than me. I used to think I was what they said about me. And it really made me feel bad about myself. Do you understand? Well, make a statement. I dare you to write it down and meditate on it. It will revolutionize your life. You are defined by who God says you are. See, reputation is what people think you are. Character is what God knows you are, and God is into developing your character, not your reputation. He doesn't really care what everybody thinks about you. God knows your heart. That's why God had me come and say what I said to you. It wasn't just coming and saying words. I was coming and saying something God wanted you to get and hold on to, because He wanted you to know how He feels and what He thinks toward you. Do you understand?
Yes.
When you come to believe what God says about you, are you listening? When you come to believe what God says about you, it's going to help you in your relationship with everybody else. You won't feel threatened. You'll be delivered from what I call the baloney of the brethren and the cistern. See, I don't worry about what y'all think or say anymore. I don't really care. People say all kinds of things to me, call me names, give me looks, disapproving. I figure they must be having a hard life. I ask them if I can pray for them. They don't know what to do with that. I don't worry about what y'all think. If y'all say something to me, I pray about everything people talk to me about, Caitlin. Everything anybody says about me, when I got off the phone with those two people last night, when I got off the phone with them, and I was telling my wife about it, I just broke out into prayer and I just said, God, if there's anything you want me to see by what they said, if there's anything you want me to understand, if there's something you want to correct or perfect concerning me, I want to be wide open to it. And what wasn't of you, let it roll off me like water off a duck's back. Thank you. You see, I had married these two. And at their reception, somebody was asking me questions, which didn't take a whole lot of prodding, but somebody poked a hole in my balloon and God got loose, and I told him my testimony about how I got saved as a drug dealer and had hair down to my waist and an earring in my ear, and I was telling them all about how I got saved. Well, this was 2 years ago I married these people. And the woman was calling for 2 years. She's been stewing because at the reception, when somebody asked me about my life and I started telling them, her brothers, who I wasn't talking about her brothers, I was talking about what Jesus had done in my life. Well, her brothers have long hair and they felt like I was putting them down or something. I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about where I was. I didn't have a picture to show people, so I was just trying to give them a word picture of where I was at. I told her last night, I said, I've given this story somewhere between 75... your car. Go get it. Bring me one. Chapter 18, verse 8. Turn to chapter 18, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now turn to chapter 19, verse 1. We're going to read 5 verses and we're done. You ready? Oh, yeah. And these things are new. I'm having a hard time keeping them on my face. Do you ever get used to these things? No? Good. I thought it was me. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came unto a certain city called Ephesus, and finding certain disciples... Oh, thank you. Here we go. Woo! Go ahead, she won't bite. Go ahead, get it. We do this every service, by the way, okay. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily or truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. One of the reasons I felt like God wanted me to share this was because by the time I was 20, see, I met Jesus when I was 20, I was a drug dealer. And by the time I was 20, thank you. I do this one. Here, ready? Oh, that's so good. There's another one. Get that one. Oh, they're all together. By the time I was 20, 6 different denominations had baptized me and nobody had told me how to know Jesus. They all told me that I needed to do this because I knew in my head when they asked me questions, I knew the answers because I listened in church. I got it. But knowing about Jesus here and knowing Jesus here are two different things. See, there's a lot of people that's going to stop 18 inches short of heaven. That's how far it is from your head to your heart. And there's a lot of people that know about God, but they've never humbled themselves and admitted. Last night, the two people on the phone wanted to keep telling me how good they were. I said, okay. But like they were trying to convince me. I said, I didn't bring up the subject. You did. You know? Okay, you're a good person. Okay. They wanted to keep convincing me how good they were. And finally, I said to them, because it came up in conversation, I said, did you know that Jesus said that there is none good? No, not one. Even when a man came to Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. What he was asking him, do you know that I'm God? That's what Jesus was asking the guy. And do you know that you're not good? That God is? You see, none of us are. But she wanted to keep telling me how good she was, but she also, on the other breath, wanted to tell me how she loved Jesus. And I said, and she finally asked me, so can you imagine? Somebody asked me, they said, so what do you think someone has to be a bad person? What does God say? What does the Bible say? I said, that's really clear. The Bible says we're all bad. We've all sinned. You see, I have a little granddaughter. She's 6 weeks old. Okay? We didn't send her to school to learn how to be a little brat. We didn't send her to school. Oh, I love the little girl, but she screams all the time. And somebody 24 hours a day has to be holding this selfish little one who always wants attention and wants to be rocked and moved. And you can't quit doing that. And when you get all worn out, you pass her on to somebody else. And then they have to keep doing it and talking and looking right in her eyes. Why? Because she's just like the rest of us. She's selfish. Oh, Brother Harvey, she's just a little baby. She is. My point is, right from the beginning, we all sin. Right from the beginning. You can get Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore flying over her head. She's got a fresh little pamper or whatever that thing is. She's just eating because she eats all the time. That's all she does is eat and sleep. And have to keep changing her with a squeegee. And then, as soon as Eeyore and Piglet and Winnie the Pooh stop, and she realizes you're not standing there, do you know what? That little thoughtful, considerate, unselfish little baby does?
Screams! Why'd you leave me? I want you looking at me. I want you giving me attention. Pick me up.
You see, that's what's inside of us. Dogs reproduce dogs. Cats have cats. Guess what sinners have? Sinners. You see, the nuts don't fall too far from the tree. We'll talk. Write it down. We'll talk right after church. Here's the thought. We all need Jesus. And that's what I said to her last night. I said, there has to come a time in your life where you turn to God and you admit, I am a sinner. I'm responsible for my sin and I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for me and took what I deserve. Father, treat me as if I'm a liar. Treat me as if I'm a thief. Treat me as if I'm a drug dealer. Treat me as if I'm Harvey. And He took what I deserve. He became my substitute. But He did that for each and every person. That's why He had to go through what He went through. For each one of our sins. Because every sin has to be paid for. And that's what baptism is all about. I want everyone to know, without saying a word, what you're saying when you get baptized is, I want you to know, God, that I believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection. I do trust in your Son. I do trust in you as my Savior. And then you're telling everybody publicly. That's why you don't go do it in a closet. You do it publicly. Because you want everyone to know, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He hung out on that cross in front of everybody as if he was rejected of heaven and earth. And he did that for me. Now I want everyone to know that I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And when you get baptized, like we baptized people last week under the water, when we put that person under, what they're doing in Romans 6, it says that we are buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. What you're saying to God is, I want to die to my old ways. And I want to be raised to walk a whole new way. I want you to be the Lord of my life. That doesn't make us perfect. We still sin. But now I come to Jesus and I say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. And He'll say, you're forgiven. And if I go on, I start to keep trying to, but God, I did this and I did it before. And He'll say, what sin are you talking about? It's already forgiven. I've already paid for it with my blood. It's paid in full. What sin are you talking about? You already confessed it. You already chose me over your sin. What are you trying to be, religious? What are you trying to do? You're trying to do it? You're trying to beat yourself? Make yourself feel real bad? God does that inside of you, and when you confess, that's what I'm saying. When you know what the Bible has to say, the truth will set you free. And the truth sets me free. And I find so many Christians aren't set free because they don't know the truth. That's why what we want to do is take people to the Bible, show them what the Bible has to say so you can put your belief in what God has to say because it will set you free. And you can be right with God, have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, guess what else you have? Peace with others. Because until you have peace with God, you're all in turmoil with God and feel like you're a worm and feel like, oh, I can never please Him and He's always mad at me and, oh, I gotta, or I gotta stay away from church or stay away from Him because it just makes me feel guilty. When you're like that, guess how you affect everybody else around you? And you don't have peace. Don't you like it when you have peace? Don't you like it when you can sleep at night and just, like a little baby, and just get a good night's sleep? I do. That's what we're about. We want to lift up Jesus. Point everybody to Jesus. Because that's who we need. And learn how to live Him every day. Every moment of the day. That's what baptism's about. Next week, I'm opening it up today. Let's see, how do we do that, Lord? Next week, okay. Next week, we're going to open up for membership. If you feel like this is where God wants you to be, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've been baptized after salvation because Jesus died, was buried, rose again, you were baptized for that reason, not baptized to get saved, not baptized for other reasons. If you tell me where you got baptized, I can tell you what they baptized you for, okay? But if it was simply, I just want to obey the Lord, because baptism is the first act of obedience after salvation. It's an outward expression of an inward condition. Okay? And if that's what you want, that's the two requirements in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. The two requirements to join a church are salvation by faith in Christ and baptism after salvation because of Jesus. You just want everyone to know, I believe in Jesus. And you're showing that. I'd be glad to talk with you afterwards, have any questions, whatever. But what I do want to do, how about if I do this? I'm just going to do this. It'll be a little different. Does anybody have any questions or anything right now or comments? Anybody have any questions, comments? We don't have to make this a long time. I just want to, because what I want to do is I want to pray for some people Anybody? Questions, comments? They'll come around. Don't worry about it.
I remember your name, though.
So do I, George. How you doing?
Not too bad, Paul.
I love it when people get into my humor there. I always tell them, you must have a good sense of humor. You're laughing at my jokes. I like it. Anybody have anything to say? I'm really glad you're here today. And what I would like to do, I feel like the Lord would just have me do it this way. Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? I just want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I am thankful for each person that you drew here today. And I am asking, Father, that you would just open up their eyes, open up their hearts to your love, to your truth, and that they would receive your truth and replace anything that's inside of them that's not in line with truth, so that they could know the truth you want them to know, because it will set them free. Let them know that you love them unconditionally. Let them know you love them based on that you choose them, not out of their performance. There's nothing they could do to make you love them more. And there's nothing they could do to make you love them less. I'm just asking you would make that real in each heart here today. I'm asking that you would bless each one, that you would minister in their hearts, minister in their lives, meet their deepest needs, meet their needs that they think are too small to even bring to you, and let them know how important they are to you, Father. I'm asking you would turn their captivity. I'm asking that you would bless their every breath. You would minister to their physical needs, their financial needs, their emotional needs, their relationship needs. And I'm asking, Father, that you would help each one in this room today to make choices in their life that you could turn around and be released to bless them each as if they were Jesus Himself. I just want you to bless. I'm asking you to bless each one in this room today. May they know it's you and not coincidence. Because then your name and your praise would be on their hearts and on their lips. For you're worthy, Jesus. No one like you. Thank you very much, Lord. Amen. Yes, dear. We're going to open this to